With Montana News, I'm Peyton Butler. The Trump administration has approved the right-of-way, allowing the Keystone XL oil sands pipeline to be built across U.S. land. Federal officials told the Associated Press that Interior Secretary David Bernard signed the approval Wednesday for 46 miles of the line's route. The move pushes the controversial $8 billion project closer to construction, but it still faces court challenges. The 1,200-mile pipeline would transport up to 830,000 barrels of crude oil daily from Western Canada to U.S. refineries. It's become emblematic of the struggle between economic development and curbing the fossil fuel emissions that are causing climate change. The Supreme Court's conservative majority appears ready to reinvigorate a Montana scholarship program and make it easier to use public money to pay for religious schooling. The court divided along ideological lines in arguments today over provisions in Montana's constitution that bars state aid to religious schools. Three other states have similar no-aid clauses for religious education. U.S. Senator Steve Daines and U.S. Representative Greg Gianforte have filed a brief arguing against the state of Montana in the case. Warm weather and a lack of snow in parts of Montana has led to the cancellation of a ski-joring competition in Whitefish and an ice fishing event on Canyon Ferry Reservoir near Townsend this weekend. Organizers of the Whitefish Ski-Joring World Championship canceled its event, scheduled to run Friday through Sunday, citing a forecast of warmer weather and rain in the Whitefish area. Meanwhile, the Broadwater Lions Club Perch Derby has been canceled for the second straight year in a row due to unsafe ice conditions. Montana and Wyoming are asking the U.S. Supreme Court to hear a challenge to Washington State's rejection of a proposed coal export terminal. Kayla DeRoche with Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
On Tuesday, Montana and Wyoming announced they're suing Washington State for its 2017 decision to deny Lighthouse Resources a water quality permit for its proposed Millennium Bulk Terminals project in Longview. According to the lawsuit petition papers, states like Montana see the port as an opportunity to increase coal exports to Asian markets, especially in the face of shrinking domestic prices. Montana Attorney General Tim Fox, who's running for the Republican nomination for governor in 2020, says the block is unconstitutional and politically motivated.
It was based on two things. One is they wanted to favor commerce and commodities from the state of Washington, and they wanted to further their political policy positions concerning blocking the use of coal worldwide.
Washington State Department of Ecology spokesperson Jeff Zink says the state found the project could harm Washington waters and the surrounding areas. Among the possible impacts:
driving 537 pilings into the riverbed, destroying 24 acres of wetlands, eliminating 5 acres of aquatic habitat.
Lighthouse Resources has fought the state's decision in multiple failed attempts since 2017 and continues to do so. If built, the Washington-based terminal would be the only port available in the United States for Montana and Wyoming's coal exports. According to petition documents, the port could ship up to 44 million metric tons of coal annually, mostly from the Powder River Basin. Washington State has 60 days to file a response to Montana and Wyoming's petition. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Montana's Attorney General has signed on to a letter saying the impeachment proceedings against President Donald Trump pose a threat to all future elections and establish a dangerous historical precedent. The letter sent Wednesday morning from 21 Republican state attorney generals urges the U.S. Senate to reject the two articles of impeachment approved by the House in December and dismiss the current trial. Tim Fox, who's running for the Republican nomination for Montana governor, tweeted, quote, "In short, the articles lack any reasonable evidentiary basis and are fundamentally flawed as a matter of constitutional law," end quote. A candlelight vigil has been held to honor a Montana teenager who was missing for weeks after her body was found by investigators. The Billings Gazette reports 16-year-old Selena Not Afraid was found Monday southwest of the Interstate 90 rest stop, where she was last seen January 1st. About 100 people attended the vigil Tuesday at Swords Park in Billings, where a memorial was decorated with flowers and candles. Bighorn County Sheriff's Office says foul play was not suspected, but also has not been ruled out. The Montana Supreme Court has ruled a man charged for his alleged role in the shooting death of a Montana sheriff's deputy can be forcibly medicated after he was found mentally unfit to stand trial. Lloyd Barris is charged in the March 2017 shooting death of a Broadwater County deputy, Mason Moore. Wednesday's ruling upholds a decision ruled in May 2019 that Barris could be given an antipsychotic medication via injection if he refused to take the drugs. The justices said the state has an interest in a criminal conviction because with a civil commitment to the Montana State Hospital, Barris could be released in as little as 3 months. The Montana Department of Commerce has awarded $700,000 in grants across 8 tribal governments for tribal language revitalization efforts. Eric Young of Yellowstone Public Radio News reports.
In Fort Belknap, there are 2 unique languages recognized with roughly 5 people able to speak each of them. Ray Seho is the Montana Language Preservation Program's project coordinator for the Assiniboine and Gros Ventre tribes. He says that the recently awarded funds come at a crucial time.
We need to do something now or it's going to be lost forever. And it's just our ancestors used it. They held on to it for us. It skipped a generation because of boarding schools and all, you know, everything that happened. But we have the chance and opportunity now to bring it back, revive it, and keep it alive.
Each tribe will receive $89,000 for individual initiatives. Plans and projects are already underway to expand current efforts such as classes, signage, DVDs, and online pronunciation guides. With the increased funding, preservation programs plan to expand on these resources along with new ones like phone applications, summer camps, and employing more instructors. Seho says that while there is overlap between languages and differences in dialect, the number of people who know them fluently has been decreasing. The biggest step towards preserving the languages, he says, is to reintroduce them into the people's everyday vocabulary.
We're fortunate to have a few elders still with us. Within the last 5 years when we started these programs, we have lost probably a good amount of elders that had the language, that knew it fluently.
The grant program was initially proposed in the Montana legislature 6 years ago. Lawmakers passed it last year as part of the state's main budget bill. With Yellowstone Public Radio, I'm Eric Young.